there was this woman that was a servant of a very wealthy lady. The servant had been very poor. She was more than a servant. She was much more of what you call, like today, a PA, personal assistant, as well as a servant. But she never learned to read or write. She was in poverty. But she worked all the time for this wealthy woman. And they became really good friends over the years, very good friends. And then one day the wealthy woman died. And years later, this servant woman was on her deathbed, and a pastor came to pray with her. And he looked up on the wall, and he seen this frame with a piece of paper framed inside of it. And he said to her, what is that? And she said, oh, that's something that the woman I worked for gave me. I seen that it had my name on it, and it was very special because she'd given it to me. And I kept it and framed it all these years to think about her and how special our relationship was. And he said, oh, he said, you don't know what that is? And she said, no. And he said, well, that's a check for over $1 million. Now, the sad thing about that is, one, she was looking at it all the time, but not realizing, because she couldn't understand the value of what was there for her. The woman left it so that she would be able to cash that check and be extremely blessed by that woman because of her love for her and all those years that she had served her. And this is kind of like what we do at Easter, and I did it for 30-some years, is we celebrate a historical event. We look at it, we look back at it, we sing about it, but I don't believe we understand it. I don't believe we understand truly what is there for us. What did he do? What did he do? Well, we're told that he died for our sins so that we could go to heaven one day. Is that what happened? That's what we're told. Well, remember in rabbinic understanding that sin is separation from God, so that he came to remove the separation, but there was something more powerful that he did. And so I want us to go into that tonight and look at it. Look at what it is. Look at what it is and begin to unpack it, all right? So, in Proverbs, Solomon says, in Proverbs 27:19, he says, as in water, a face reflects the face. So, the heart of a person reflects the person. So, what he's telling us is, we understand that water is consciousness. So consciousness reflects who we are. Our heart reflects, as a man thinketh, so he is. Out of the heart flow the issues of life. So the heart reflects the person. So what we're thinking and what we're believing in our hearts are what is all around us as our reality. St. Francis of Assisi said, the one you're looking for is the one who is looking. It's you. Corinthians, Paul, in chapter 13, verse 12, he says, we see in a mirror dimly. See, there's that reflective water again. But then, face to face, now I know in part, then I'll know fully, even as I have been fully known. As I have been fully known. So, when you look in a mirror, guess whose face you're looking at? You're looking at yourself. Dimly, because you don't know who you are. To begin with, we don't realize that we are immortal. That we are immortal. because we've been told stories. And God came to wake us up. So the mystics of old said, know thyself, know thyself. Same thing, know thyself. He who has ears to hear what the Spirit says to the communities, let him hear. To the victor, I'll give food from the tree of life, which stands in the paradise of God. Wow. The tree of life. We're supposed to be eating from the tree of life. It's a tree of life. There's life there. Look at John 15. You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Wow. That doesn't mean he gave them some great ideas, a great message. He's telling you something. John's telling you about Jesus is the word. And he says, you are clean because of what I spoke to you. Remain in me. Where? In the tree of life. And I in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, but must remain in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I mean, he's telling us that we have to remain partaking of the living word of the tree of life. Or we die. We're in carnality. Religion is carnal. We need the living word. Now let's have some fun. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the first thing we got to do is we got to let go of the Sunday school stories and what we're being taught and what we've been taught and what the movies teach you, because it's not the truth. There's revelation here to you. We're pulling that check off the wall. Okay, in the beginning, you didn't have a beginning. You're immortal. Your soul has always been and always will be. In the beginning of what? Oh, in the beginning was the Word in John. Oh, the living Word. So the beginning for you, the beginning for me, is when the living Word penetrates you. That's the beginning for you. It wasn't a beginning where he created the world. It was the beginning for you. The death and resurrection. Okay, so let's carry on here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the spirit realms and the carnal world. And the earth was chaos and waste. Darkness was on the surface of the deep. Darkness is over us, over our faces. We cannot see. We're veiled. And there's chaos here. You see it? Darkness is on the surface of the deep. And the Ruah Elohim was hovering over the surface of the water, the consciousness of man. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. We're going to pick that up again in John chapter 1. Let there be light. So God distinguished the light from the darkness. God called light day, and darkness he called night. So there was evening and there was morning one day. This is the first day of the awakening of the seven steps, or the 7 days of the week. It's over you. It's the journey. That's what this is all about, the journey. So here you see it. That was the first day. God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters. Let it be separated, water from water. So God made the expanse and separated the water that was below the expanse, the water that was above the expanse, and it happened so. Now, do you think there's an ocean over your head? No. There's a conscious awareness of the Creator. Full awakening. And then there's the consciousness, that is called the deep darkness, where God is moving here. Even the light of the moon reflects the sun, but it's not the sun. These are pictures. They're pictures. This is going on inside you. It's going on inside of me. The pearl of great price inside us. All right. So then let's jump to John. The same thing. In the beginning was the Word. That's the light. It was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made through him, and apart from him, nothing was made that has come into being. In him was what? Life. And the life was the light of men. The light of the day. You see it? So, the living Word pierces your heart in the beginning of you getting raised from the dead. All right? And we'll show you more of that in a minute. So you're dead, spiritually dead, dead to what's going on. We just live from the outside, five senses. Then the Word, the living Word comes and it pierces us. And that's in the beginning. And then we realize that it's alive. It's living and alive because I can sense, I feel the Word of God. It's not a message. It's not a church service. It's Yeshua speaking to us, speaking to us. So, hey, and it grows, and we need to follow the light because it has a purpose. It brings life. It brings life. I'll show you in a bit. Okay, in the gospel of truth. So you're getting that, right? We got Genesis 1 and we got John 1. And there's the two of them, right? Showing us the same truth. If we have eyes to see. So in the gospel of truth, it says, when a will hasn't yet been opened, the wealth of the deceased master of the house is hidden. So too, all were hidden while the Father of all was invisible to us. They were from him, from whom every realm comes. So there's wealth, but we can't see it because he's hidden. It's because we have a veil. So look what Jesus does then. It says, Jesus was revealed, and he put on that book. Oh, the living book, the book of life. Where are we? We're in a living book. We're in a living book. All around us is pictures to tell us who we are. Know thyself. Wake up. In the beginning, the Word comes to us and it begins to do something we're going to talk about. He put on the book, was nailed to a tree, and published the Father's etiquette on the cross. Now, what's the etiquette? It is a decree from a sovereign, state, or a holder of authority. So Jesus posted the voice of the Father, his authority, on the cross. And what was that? Well, we know in another place in Scripture it says that God commands, the Father commands, eternal life. He commands it. Oh, what a great teaching it says. Yeshua drawing himself down to where? Death. He clothed himself in eternal life. That was on the mountain of transfiguration. Remember, he came as us for us, stripped himself of the perishable rags, clothed himself in incorruptibility, which no one can take from him. When he entered the empty realms of terror, He passed through those who were stripped by forgetfulness. Being knowledge and completion, proclaiming the things that are in the heart to teach those who will receive teaching. This is why he came. Remember, we've been taught that he went into death for 3 days. Oh, how long was he here? 33 years. Oh, this is where he came. Okay. He came to the realm of forgetfulness. The Book of the Living says, now those who will receive teaching are the living who are written in the Book of the Living. They receive teaching about themselves, and they receive it from the Father, returning to him again. That's the veil being removed. That's the top of the mountain, face to face, Moses. That's Paul, seeing a mirror dimly. Do you see what it's saying? They receive it from the Father, returning to him again. So they receive teaching about themselves. That's what I'm doing here, is breaking bread this evening so that we can recognize there's something very precious here, very precious that happened on Golgotha, not just something to celebrate. The event, like that check put in a nice little frame on the wall, but to know he was telling us not only in the literal event, but the unfolding of the revelation of what it is about taking us out of death into life. Don't wait for it. John 8:12 says, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, and those who embrace me will experience life-giving light, and they will never walk in darkness. Remember, darkness covered the face of the deep. Light is revelation from the Word in your heart. So in 1978, I had the experience in the open vision where Jesus is speaking to me, and I got thousands of volts going through my body. I am like power like I've never felt ever. And I feel this liquid love in me, through me, all around me, and you know the story. But he says this to me. He shows me young people committing suicide, getting killed in car accidents, ODing on drugs. He said, they're coming over here. They don't know me. Go and tell them I am alive. Now, like the boat or the check, I can just take that simply, as I did in the beginning. I used it in a way of evangelism, because that's what I thought he meant. But I didn't know what he meant. He was going to teach me that he's the living Word. He's the resurrection. I need the living Word. I am alive, he said. I'm not a history story. I'm not an event in the future. I'm here and I'm now. Omnipresent in the universe. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing. Light in the darkness. So he said to me, tell them I'm alive. So that's what I'm doing tonight. I'm breaking this down and breaking it open. And what does that mean? So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, we're taught this is the rapture. But the problem is, Jesus said to me, when did I ever say when somebody died that they were dead? I said they were sleeping. Oh. So I said, who's this dead in Christ then? He said, that's the whole human race. That's everyone that has not awakened by the light, including religion that's carnal. The dead in Christ will rise first, like the whirlwind lifting Elijah, right? Thy heart's on fire. Then we who are alive and remain, those who are awakened, because there are people on the planet that are fully awake and they're walking around and they're many years old. We don't know them because they're not on the stage. They're not looking to be celebrated. They're about the Father. So, we will be caught up into the clouds. And the clouds, again, the clouds are the glory, which is discover my light, fully in the light, fully in the light. So, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us so that we could see, like me seeing the boat with perception on the side. And as I looked at it, God began to carry me up Jacob's ladder, awaken me. As we look at Golgotha, we recognize the Word telling us something. You see, that we must die to the mind of man, carnality, and live unto God from the tree of life. Not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of life, which is Christ in me. The Word is spiritually begotten within the soul. And then the Word became flesh in the person of Jesus for us to behold him who is the light. Oh my gosh, man. In the beginning, do you see it? To behold the light. He came, so in the flesh, he descended for 3 days into the belly of the whale to show us so that we could begin to see and awake through the resurrection within us. I am the resurrection, he said. What is that? The Word in me. God quickening it to me. God teaching me. God awakening me. God carrying me until I get to that place, right? To go through the door of everything. Face to face. Fully awake. Know thyself. In a mere dimly. But then you will know as you've been known. It's because you think you're one thing. I thought I was one thing. But we're not. Because we've been dead in the grave. And God is awakening us. That which was born from the beginning, which cannot be perceived with the eyes or ears, this is what must be grasped spiritually as the Word of life. How fortunate we are that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us so that we would have a reference point. But then understand that when he enters me, resurrection life has begun. And then the grave clothes got to be taken off, and the cloth off of my face, that I might see fully. It says we use 10% of our mind. What's the other 90% for? Let's see. Abraham tied 10% to Melchizedek. Wasn't money at all. He tied the carnal mind so he could receive the 90. The mind of God, the mind of Christ, fully seeing, immortal as he is. This is all about your soul, the journey of your soul. It must be grasped spiritually as the Word of life. Ephesians 5:13-14. But all things became visible when they're exposed by the light. For everything becomes visible everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and the Christ will shine on you. Ephesians 5, 13 and 14. The Christ will shine on you. What a powerful, powerful revelation. The living Word becomes flesh, dies in the skull, resurrects beforehand as us for us, goes through to show us that death isn't real. It's not a reality for the immortal. When we understand that we are immortal, then we'll cast off the grave clothes. We'll listen to the one true voice that will lead us up as we awake from the dead. And the light of Christ will begin to shine brighter and brighter until the fullness of the day within us. This is the journey that we're on. Where are we? We're in a book with pictures all around us to tell us about our dad, about who we are and who he is, because we've been hidden. But he's not gone. We just got to get that cloth off our face. Then we can see. It's amazing. The literal, the hint, the allegory, and then comes the mystery. The hidden thing gets unveiled to you, to me. And you played the harp.